I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
As you know, the Atlanta Board of Education, they decided not to extend the contract of current superintendent Maria Kostarfin. Dr. Kostarfin will be exiting the Atlanta Board of Education as their superintendent. The board has been pretty silent on the why. But one board member is on my show today, Erica Mitchell. She represents District 5 in the Atlanta public school system. Thank you, Board Member Mitchell, for being on the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Okay. This whole thing is not the best rollout. Would you at least kind of agree to that, the way it was done?
I can agree to that. I think it could have been polished and a little bit smoother than the way it rolled out. I do agree with that. I think as professionals and elected officials that we need to make sure that we do it with integrity and that we use the best advice moving forward to make sure that everyone is informed correctly. That's just my take on how it was rolled out.
Why was the process done in secret?
Well, I can just say that there were concerns of retaliation.
What kind of retaliation?
From community, stakeholders, business community.
But that's part of the game of being an elected official, right? That's part of it, right?
Yeah.
If you are a leader, criticism is the price you pay for leadership. Yeah. And the day you are unwilling to pay that price is the day you're unfit to lead.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided... Was it they or was it just one person who decided to do this in secret? Or did all of you all say, let's do this secretly?
All of us didn't say, let's do it secretly. I think it was the process was like, we need to just move forward. So if this is what we have to do as a board to move forward, then, okay, whatever. Let's just move. Let's work on the transition.
But don't you think if the agreement is, let's do this secretly because we don't want the community to revolt, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That says a lot about maybe how unpopular the decision may be to get rid of her.
Yes and no.
Okay, well, so, explain that to me.
I will explain. If you recall last year when we had to vote on the contract, it was public, right?
Yeah, you didn't want her to stay.
I voted not to give her a contract extension along with two other board members.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just based on the stats and the data and the status of the performance status of the schools in my district. That was based on the people who live in that district who children attend those schools.
Okay.
And what they seen throughout the years of her tenure. They did not agree, and they told me wholeheartedly that we don't think she could transition our schools to top performing schools the way they were. You know, if you go back and look at Douglas and Mays, they were, you know, high performing schools. They are not now. Those cluster schools are not in my district. And so they really advocated for me, who I was elected by that district,
mm-hmm.
to be the voice of my district, not to extend her contract. And I have to respect that because I asked my district to elect me. Right.
Right. And I respect that.
And I work
that.
For them.
I respect
so,
that.
And if you look at the data, you will say, okay, after 5 years, after 6 years, what is going on? Why are our schools are underperforming? I mean, our job as board members is to give guidance and lead and manage our superintendent and her administration, right? So one side of town is performing great and a couple of other sides are not.
We're going to get into that. We're going to get into those stats. I said yesterday on CBS 46 News and on Peachtree TV, I have a major problem with the fact that public officials did this secretly. I have a problem with that. Because your paycheck is not from secret money.
No.
Your paycheck is from
public dollars. dollars.
That's right. It's public dollars.
And I agree with you on that. I didn't have a problem with making it public because my community and my district knew where I stand.
So what was your off-record vote? It was to...
It was not to extend.
Not to extend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can you tell us how the number fell?
I can't.
You can't tell us that?
I cannot tell you that.
That's G14 classified.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you can't tell us that.
No.
Why did you all as a board decide to hold this very important vote, off-record vote basically, 1 week before the school board election? Because right now you're not even a full board.
Correct.
Why?
Why? Well, though I cannot speak for the entire board, I can only give you my perspective.
Okay.
And I have to make sure that I'm not, you know, saying anything that was done behind, not behind an executive session. Let me just put it that way.
Okay.
1 week before the election, and when you say that, like just how can I put it? It's interesting because you don't have a voice for District 2.
You don't.
Right? And that can be looked as unfair.
Mm-hmm.
We were running, well, it was a time constraint because normally from our legal guidance is that you have a certain amount of time before you are needed to begin a superintendent search to make sure that you go through the process openly, transparently, right? So that had to begin in October.
Erica, you talking to me.
I know.
Come on now. You talking to me. 1 week would not have changed. As a matter of fact, as of today, as of today, y'all don't even have a search firm.
Exactly.
Y'all don't even have a search firm today, okay? So to suggest, and I know this is probably coming from others in leadership, to say, well, we needed this because of a time tracker based on how long it takes to get a superintendent based on search criteria. That's bull. You know it, Erica. That's bull, right? Sister, come walk with me now. Walk with me, Erica. You know that's bull. You were elected as a people's champion.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know I work for my community.
I know you do.
I'm in there regardless if I have the support of the administration or the
you
board,
do.
I'm going to do
what
is needed
Erica,
for my kids.
No matter
down.
What decision you've made, I've always believed that you did it with the right heart. That's from day one. I've moderated your debates. You've been on my program. We've had debates right here on this show, right? I have not always agreed with every decision every board member has made, including you. But I always believed your heart was in the right place because you were elected as a people's champion.
Yeah.
Now, this is not people's champion stuff right here.
It's not. And I can't sit up here and try to sugarcoat it. Why was it done the way it was done? You will have to talk to the other board members.
I need to talk to the chairman.
Yeah.
He needs to come on the show. The chairman needs to come on the show. I'm disappointed in his leadership thus far. That's just keeping it 100. I would love to have a direct conversation with him. So hopefully he returns my call. All right.
And like I said, I had no problem with people knowing where I stand.
Obviously
I stand
you
with
don't.
My community.
Right. Obviously
I mean,
you don't. You're the only one on the show. You don't have an issue. You are saying, here, I'm a public official. Here's why I stood on the matter. It is what it is. And you're comfortable because you believe you represent the sentiment of your district, and you're okay with that,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I think others may not think they represented the sentiment of their district. That could be an issue.
And then you have to look at some of the things that I took the initiative to do. Every time I held a community meeting, I would give out surveys and comment cards because
yep.
I wanted your feedback. You tell me how can I work for you to improve these issues or concerns you have. I met with the superintendent every month in our one-on-ones and discussed these issues, right? I did everything in my power and what I could do to serve my district to the best that I could possibly do in my role.
Right.
Now, as a board member, we cannot micromanage. We cannot get in the way of day-to-day operations.
Right, because you can lose accreditation, all kinds of things can happen.
Yes, all of that, and I understood
right.
it. So within my boundaries, I did all that I could possibly do to help support the principals, the students, the schools, because at the end of the day, I just want these kids to be successful.
Let's talk about the data on the other side of the break, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
we want to know, based on statistical performance, academic achievement in your district, because
yes.
we know the overall numbers look pretty good, right? When Maria Karstarfin was hired in 2014, I think the graduation rate was around 58, 59%. It is now right at 80%. Georgia Milestones assessment through the roof. You have a decrease of 34% of kids getting arrested. You have a significant decrease of in-school suspension, out-of-school suspension. All of that is happening under her watch. You have an uptick of faculty engagement by 16%. I'm not sure exactly how they measure that, but that's part of the statistical outlay. But you're saying in your district, your numbers are not that promising. We'll talk about that on the other side, okay. All right? You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio, News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Okay, welcome back. In the studio, I have Atlanta Board of Education member Erica Mitchell. She represents District 5. Erica, before we went to the break, I said, let's talk about the stats of your district. You're not arguing that the overall numbers are better for the Atlanta school system. That's not your argument,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
Your argument is your district, correct. District 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about District 5.
Yeah. So in District 5, we have the Douglas cluster schools, all their feeder schools, and the Mays cluster schools and all their feeder schools.
Okay.
And so what you have is CCRIP scores, and it's from 100% percentile.
Okay.
And so what you see is, you know, you see the green, which is like 80 and 90%. You see yellow, you see orange, and you see red. Then you see single digits. And so when you look at the performance of the elementary schools, the middle schools, and the high schools, you're seeing majority of those schools in the red, right? And some of them are low double digits or single digits.
Okay.
And that is unacceptable. Now, I commend the principals in my district for their hard work, and they do work hard. They go over and beyond. But they need that additional support from our administration to make sure that we are doing everything that we possibly can do to make sure that the students are getting a quality education.
Explain CCRPI.
CCRIP is what the state rates your school in performance percentiles.
Okay.
And so if you...
This is based on academic grades or test scores?
It's test scores.
Test scores,
and it's
okay.
Overall, they have an overall test, and they test you on your proficiency, reading, math, language arts, and just everything.
Okay.
And so it comes up with that percentile. And so you will see there are some gains. Not gains, I'm sorry, some growth. I will say growth. You
all
will
right.
see some growth, but... When you look at the time span of 6 years, and not 6 years, you should see a significant improvement, not just growth.
Okay. All right. This is a calculation of standardized tests and how students have performed. And I think the ones that you've handed me, this is a three-year average. So there is some increase, but it is not at the rate that you would like to see these numbers increase, correct?
Yes. I mean, in 6 years, I would like to see not red, because you see it's consistent.
Yeah.
Right? In the years. You would need to see yellow or going into the green. That's a significant amount of improvement.
What about the crowd who says standardized tests should not be the only measuring rod for student achievement?
It shouldn't, but I feel that there should be some type of implementation to show mastery of what we're teaching our students.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be standardized tests.
Today, you were at a groundbreaking ceremony.
Correct.
And that was in your district.
Correct.
What's the school?
Woodson Park, KIPP Woodson Park Elementary School. Well, Woodson Park Academy.
Woodson Park Academy. Now, that is a multi-million dollar project.
Yes, it is.
Right? Whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That is in your district.
Correct.
Students are going to benefit.
Yep.
Was it not Dr. Maria Kerstarfin who created the coalition to bring that to your district?
It was the Grove Park community and the Grove Park Foundation that brought it to APS as a partnership.
Okay.
And that was voted on in March of 2017. Prior to me being elected.
Okay.
Because I was elected.
What was Dr. Kerstarfin's leadership there? Do you credit her at least in part?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Dr. Christoffen and the board members who approved that project. I don't take credit from what she has done.
Now, let me ask you this, because overall numbers in graduation are up. Are more students graduating out of District 5 than they did back in 2014?
I would say the numbers are consistent.
Okay.
With how many kids are graduating, you will see some increase, but it's mainly consistent. But you will see a decrease in the amount of students that have graduated from Mays High School. Mays High School had their population has dropped significantly.
Okay.
So the graduating seniors have dropped as well.
Well, so I get that, and we're going to argue numbers against statistics. So I have a statistic. I did some research this morning, mm-hmm. and this is on the APSinsights.org mm-hmm. page, right? And this is where you get your graduation rates from on your official site. And the APS Insights page says the black graduation rate at Mays was 62.8% in 2014. And then when I look in 2018, which was the last date posted for data, it is over 80%.
Mm-hmm.
It is over 80% at Mays. And that's based on you guys' statistical readout.
Mm-hmm.
The Mays cluster, out of the Mays cluster, you have Peyton Forest.
Yes.
Peyton Forest shows 21% proficiency and above in math in 2017 to 30% proficient and above in 2019. Those numbers aren't where you want them to be, but they're going in the right direction.
Yes.
So my ultimate question is your main issue, your main beef with the superintendent based on the standardized test and not other metrics?
It's not based on the standardized test because you have to look at the whole child,
okay.
right? And you have to look at the opportunities that you provide for these schools as well.
Well, what about the free lunch for everybody? She just got that grant approved this year.
Mm-hmm.
Was that a big deal for your district?
It is a big deal because all our schools in my district were free and reduced lunch.
Okay.
So now the entire district is. And I don't discredit that because it was going to happen based on the percentage of the family's income,
right.
or income.
Okay.
There's no way you can fight that. It is what it is, right? So that was something that was going to eventually come to APS.
Were any of the schools in your district on the state takeover watch list?
Yes.
How many?
Before I was there, it was a lot of schools in the Douglas cluster. So what you will see was Douglas High School was being threatened. So
okay.
they were on their turnaround plan.
Okay.
You also had schools that were closed, like Fane Elementary, Towns Elementary. You also had the merger. They merged into Harper Archer
yeah.
Elementary School because Harper Archer Middle School is no longer there. They were on the turnaround list.
So,
well.
You had a significant number
yes,
of schools in your district,
mm-hmm.
and I think you have 22 schools in the district.
Yes.
Okay. So you had a significant number on this Georgia takeover list,
mm-hmm.
which then, in order to stop the state from taking it over, the superintendent created the turnaround program.
The turnaround plan, yes.
Right. Did she not turn all of your schools around and stop them from being taken over by the state?
They're not being taken over by the state. The turnaround plan is still in progress,
okay.
and they get a certain amount of money from the state
mm-hmm.
to create different programming to help the kids academically, right?
Okay.
So what you have is Frederick Douglass High School is getting that money from the state, and we're saying let us try to turn it around so we won't have the state involvement, right?
Okay.
So that's where we are. So it's still in the process.
You know, there are some people, and I hate to bring the politics back into this because I think you have a better grip of community for your district than some people, okay? But you know, there are some folks who simply do not want her there, the superintendent, because she decided to speak out against the Gulch deal in its original form. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, I know.
You know there are some people who
yeah.
big-time developers are like,
mm-hmm.
That's not my person there.
Yes.
That's not the reason you oppose her, though.
No, no, okay. no. When you look at the opportunities that our kids should be given, I'm not saying that there isn't any. I think the focus need to be on the low-performing schools, not taking away from the top-performing schools, but an aggressive approach to make sure that we're meeting every need and doing everything possible and giving the support to the teachers, the principals, the staff, whether it's the school climate, school culture, exposure, whatever it may be, and also helping the families, too, in these areas, because some of these areas are underserved.
I'm going to tell you something that you won't find in a statistical breakdown on Atlanta Insights. You won't find on the test matrix. Every year I go to the high school graduation for grading. Mm-hmm. And you know how it works, right? They get these high schools in, they get them out. So yep. It's an all-day thing. So yep. Sometimes I sit and I make sure that I hang out. Sometimes Courtney English would be there and mm-hmm. Matt yeah. Westmoreland yeah. when he was on the school board. I'm a mentor. For students at various high schools, and I coach debate. So I look at these seniors who I'm proud of. They're going to college. That's this right. is a great day, right?
Yeah.
I have never seen students cheer for a superintendent like they cheered for Maria Karstarfin. Mm-hmm. I mean, those I know it's not like tangible. It's not some kind of printout. It's not measured by a standardized test. But you have seen that, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't that something?
It is. It says, again, it says a lot. I'm not discrediting her at all. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, based on the numbers and the way my district
right.
feels,
right.
that's who I represent.
Do you have somebody in mind that you think could do a better job with underperforming schools like in District 5 than Dr. Karstarfin? You don't have to say who it is, but
yeah.
do you?
Yes, I do. And I've been doing a lot of research.
Okay.
And I've been studying different school districts to see exactly what were their strategies. And I can give you an example. I went to the Maya School in mm-hmm. Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and it is a middle school. And they were the worst performing school in Philadelphia.
Okay.
3 years, they've turned it around. And when I sit there and I sat down and asked the principal, what did you do? It was one of the most aggressive approach. Let me explain a little bit about it.
Let's do it on the other okay. side. Mm-hmm. Hold that thought. That's a good, good point to stop. Stick and stay. We're going to talk about solutions on the other side, and we'll take your calls. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. What's happening? Welcome back. Phone lines are jam-packed. I'm still in the studio with Atlanta Board of Education member Erica Mitchell. She represents District 5. She is not supportive of the contract renewal of Dr. Maria Karstarfin. She's not citing the overall numbers, but instead the numbers of her district, in particular standardized testing and other things not happening, like?
Mm-hmm. When you're talking about closing the literacy gap,
mm-hmm.
Prison to pipeline, we already know what the statistics are. Well, can we focus on that K-3, right?
Okay.
And reading proficiency. And when I say that is when you know that you have 28 to 30 different learning types, new children that are learning how to read, how to, you know, phonics and sight words and vocabulary, and they're not grasping it, right? It would be great to implement reading coaches, additional help during the school day to help these kids master phonics, you know, master reading and all these things. So when they get to the third grade, you're not dealing with going back because they didn't get it, right? Mm-hmm. So you always hear people say, oh, something happened, they fell through the cracks, they didn't get it, you know, when they were in kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade, but they keep going, and then they get to a certain point where it's like, how did this get through the system? And we have to stop doing that. We have to correct it as we go. We have to provide the support for those students to be successful.
You think she should have been or should be more intentional about those underperforming schools and getting them transitioned quicker to academic achievement?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
You do admit she's done some good things.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So let me ask you this. She's doing good things. Overall numbers are looking good. You even have improvement in your district under her leadership,
mm-hmm.
just not to the degree you would like to see it.
Correct.
Why not bring on a deputy superintendent who has the ability to focus, laser focus, on turning around more underperforming schools and has a track record of doing just
that?
Why not do that?
That's a a good idea to entertain.
Okay.
Yeah, it really is. But when you're, and I'll just say this to be clear, but when you're given a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no, and that's all you have, then you go based on what you know.
Yeah. Because now, that's basically how the agreement happened.
Correct.
Off record, right?
Correct.
You guys were given a choice, up or down,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. Okay, will we ever know exactly how everybody else voted in this secret, top secret G14 classified meeting?
If they feel like they want to be vocal with it and they want to share it, that's up to them.
I want you to let them know. I know a few of them are listening now. I'm going to be on their ass until they tell us how they voted in this secret meeting. I can't stand the secrecy of how this went down. Nobody is paid with secret money. All of y'all get our dollars, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
We should know. This is a huge decision. As a matter of fact, this is the biggest decision you guys make as an operational representative board.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And we don't get the benefit
mm-hmm.
of knowing where you stood on it. Yeah. And we know where you stood.
Yeah, and you have some board members that have been vocal saying, yes, I support an extension. And it's okay.
Do you support a conversation beyond the decision? Do you support a conversation that says, if Dr. Kostarfin comes with something else or another plan or bringing on somebody that can help with my district specifically, mm-hmm. would you consider an extension for her then?
Yes, and I would definitely talk to the community. Mm-hmm. to get their input and feedback, because at the end of the day, it's about moving the district forward, but also keeping in mind that students come first.
Yeah.
And if it means going back and press restart, let's get a plan, let's work together, let's see how we can move this forward with what is needed. Yes, of course. Of course. Why not? I want the district to succeed. I want the kids to succeed.
Who are you looking for? What kind of individual? Are you looking for like a Joe Clark individual to come into the school system or come into your district
mm-hmm.
with that, you know, heavy-handed approach?
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking for somebody that has a lot of strategic background into doing things like, because you got somebody in mind, so you kind of know what you're looking at.
I would say when you look at a superintendent, you look for someone who can really take a deep dive and get to the root of the problem. And from there is figure out how we're going to move forward with what we needed and bring in the partners to help get that done. And I'll share with you a seminar that I went to maybe 4 or 5 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a superintendent from Bibb County who was there. And he talked about how he went into Bibb County and he was really aggressively to find out, what do I need to do to move this district forward? He met with the parents. He brought in partnerships from the Solicitor General, the DA, DFACs, attorneys, all kind of different entities to say, let's sit each parent down and let's find out, what do we need to do to help them support their kids? Because it starts at home. And he went through a process with, and the sheriff was there too, and they set each parent down and they asked one parent, what can we do to support you? One parent said, my son is always late because the bus stop's so far away. We'll do the bus stop in front of your house. How about that? What else you need? And they just went down. They put them on a 30-day plan, 60-day, to a 90-day plan that kind of see the turnaround. He stopped in-school suspension of elementary kids. So he went back to find out, what do I need to do to get the intervention? Because elementary kids shouldn't be suspended.
Right. That sounds like a SWOT analysis to me.
Yes.
The way they went through the cause and effect
mm-hmm.
dynamic. All right, we got more on the other side. We're going to take some calls, okay? So we got a few calls, parents in the district that you represent. 30 minutes after the hour, before we go to the break, there are some people in your community, in your district, that do support Maria Kostarfin.
They sure do.
And what are they saying to you?
I haven't heard from anyone yet.
You haven't heard from anybody?
Not anyone in my district.
But you know there are people that support her.
They are. I know they are.
But you're saying they have not been vocal with you.
I have not received a text message or email from that person or those people. No, I haven't.
All right. We got more.
Which was surprising to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Okay, we're going to go to the callers because we have parents who are in your district, Erica, and they may support, may not, I don't know. We have Bianca in Southwest Atlanta. I understand Bianca is in District 5. Bianca, how are you?
Yes. Hey, Rashad. And hi, Erica. This is Bianca Shelby. I'm actually a constituent in District 5. I'm in support of Dr. Kastarthen, and I just had two comments Erica had made that she has spoken with the constituents in the area. I haven't heard from her, so I don't know whether she's talking about. We have a SNAP group, you know, Southwest and Northwest Atlanta Parents Group, and that's about 25 people, if that many, who actually are very active in that. But we haven't heard from Erica since she got into office and you receive a flyer, hey, I'm trying to get into the district. So that's one thing I would ask. I don't know where she's getting her information from as far as having the backing of.
Well, let's allow her to answer that. So Bianca, you know, basically she's saying that they haven't heard from you on her side.
Mm-hmm.
So
what parents is she talking to?
Hi, Bianca, and I apologize you haven't received any information from me, but what I do is I hold community meetings every month at the Northwest Library at Scott's Crossing, and I send it out through our board office emails, and they are supposed to hit every, like, community group, and then I send it out from the database that I've created through going to different events or hosting meetings or, you know, people that I come in contact with and put them in our database so I can send them the meeting notification. I've been doing this since January 2018. And
I've been to quite a few of the meetings, so I don't know why I'm not on the list.
I try to make sure everyone gets the information. And that's one of the reasons why I do the community meetings, because your input is very valuable to me and being able to voice your opinion. So that's kind of where the parents – are coming to those meetings. The community members are coming to those meetings. And that's
okay.
who I talk to.
Now that I know, I will start coming. I will be at the cluster meeting tonight.
Okay,
I
look forward to seeing you there.
I also had a question. You talked about the children and the reading, because we haven't had some growth. I actually am Peyton Forest is our elementary school.
Okay.
I meet with the principal every month. We have our neighborhood meeting there. We have a mail read-in that happens at the school.
Very good.
And so one of the things that you mentioned is about the district maybe having reading coaches and teaching phonics or whatever. But phonics and penmanship, those are not even a part of the curriculum. So, you know, I know there's a lot of things that need to be done. Dr. Kastarthen has a lot of wraparound services that are now part of the school district. Because a lot of the kids in our district, they have so many environmental and family issues.
Correct.
That makes it hard for them to even really focus on school. So we know the programs are being implemented. We are seeing some growth. So I'm just on the side of quite a few of my neighbors, and I'm in a community of 300 houses. And I'm all over the district as well. There's a great coalition that we're very disappointed in the way that this is going down with Dr. Kastarthen. And we think it's more behind and some more things will come out. And Rashad talked about some of the things, the political machine that's working in Atlanta. But I just wanted to call and say we are really frustrated in how this went down. It wasn't open. It wasn't transparent. And that's what we put our, you know, when we put our vote in for people to represent us, it just wasn't done in the best manner. So, you know, I have a coalition of parents, you know, the vote will come out again that you guys are running for election. But a lot of us are just very displeased in the way this went down.
All right. Thank you, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you. And I can understand
thank
your
you.
Frustration.
Yeah. How much is this about Dr. Kastarthen's inability to get along well with others politically?
I don't know. Okay. I do not know. I can't answer that because that is not the majority of this district reason at
okay.
all. None
okay.
of it, yeah.
Let's go to Jihad, West End. Jihad, good day. Welcome.
Hey, how you all doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Two or three questions, if I could. Listening to this conversation, you know, I'm tending to sway. Initially, Rashad, I was against what you were saying initially, but after giving us the report card on the superintendent, I don't see how the report card says passing. Now, if one district or one area out of the report card or out of her jurisdiction is having an issue, but the other eight issues or the other eight groups out of the 10 are progressing, I wouldn't blame the problem on the organization or the procedure that the superintendent is doing. I would have to do more research on that one district, the sister's district, that's having the problem. So I'm just having a problem listening to this conversation, and when you presented the numbers and you presented the successes and when you presented the progress, I mean, I just don't – it can't be anything but political. And I think Dr. Karsashian, I think she lost the public relations war, to be honest with you. I think she lost that war in when the schools were being closed and reduced and et cetera and et cetera. And I think most of the public dissension with her is based upon the charter school argument and also the schools closing and et cetera. But when you look at the numbers that you just talked about, Rashad, the lady has a passing grade. So it has to be something much deeper and much more. And then the way that the board voted made it look a little bit more sinister. So you asked that they have to let us know how they voted, but they also must let us know why they voted. Now, the sister explained why she voted, but right. Even in her explanation of her vote, just because her district was having an issue and the other nine weren't, unless she can show us where half of them were having the same issues that her district was having, I'm not buying her vote, to be honest with you.
What's your response to that, Erica?
Well, here's the thing. You have to look at the data as a whole. I can only talk about my district because I was elected for that district. I can't go and talk about District 2 or District 6 that may have the same same challenges as my district because I'm not their board representative, and I cannot speak for their board representative. I can only speak for District 5, and I know those districts are having the same challenges as mine, and you can look on APS Insights and pull data from District 2 and District 6, and you will see this consistency across the board with my district. But I cannot comment because I'm not their board representative. And that's where I have to leave.
But you represent the board as a group.
We represent the board as a group.
We're not asking you to comment on to stand up for that group, but obviously you all are a board. You're a group.
We are, so but I cannot
speak
for
them. So
if you
see something happening in one group, you mean to tell me you're not going to say nothing because it's not your group?
No, that's not what it is. When we are together as a board, we make decisions as a board. But when we are elected from a district, we do have an obligation to serve that district that elected us as well.
Right.
So we have dual responsibilities. I'm not saying I can't go and go bring another person district data in here and just, this is what's happening. Look at their scores, blah, blah, blah. And someone's going to say, what about your district?
Yeah, but Erica, the only reason why you're in this position right now to explain yourself and explain how separate your district is because they decided to hold this vote in secret. If this was a public vote, if this was a public vote, everybody would be judged based upon their reasoning. Mm-hmm. You're now having to answer for almost everybody because you're the only person willing to stand up and say, hey, here's what it is and here's why. Okay? That's an unfortunate position you've been put in.
Yeah, I'm not the board chair, so I cannot speak for the board.
Exactly.
This is the main reason why I'm only talking about District 5.
Right,
that is
right. And, Josh, you get that, right? You understand why she has to keep saying that.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that here, as a listener, you know what I mean? You were listening to this, and it's just not adding up. It just doesn't, to be honest with you, make sense. Because made the decision as a group. You know what I mean? Even though she's not the chairman, they made that decision as a group. And so the reality of it is she presented her reason. The other people's reasons we don't know, so therefore, because of how they did it, we think there's some sinister stuff. When other people present arguments that you presented this morning and other arguments, then the people are left in limbo, and now there's no trust for the that board or that administration to know whether they were politically influenced, financially influenced, or whatever. They just messed it up, to be honest with you.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you, Jihad. I appreciate your call. We got more on the other side. We're coming up to the final stretch, last segment. In the studio, Atlanta Board of Education member Erica Mitchell, District 5, and we have more on the other side. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. Let's get through these calls. I still have Atlanta Board of Education member Erica Mitchell. She represents District 5. Thank you for being very generous with your time today and very transparent with your decision. Let's go to Barbara in Atlanta. Barbara, good day. Welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm a retired educator, and I do try to keep in touch with what's current in the education system where I live. Mm-hmm. And I heard a report recently by a woman who decided to evaluate prisoners, young men, young black men incarcerated, and learned that 40% of them were dyslexic. There may be a dyslexic problem that's going on that we're not in our school systems evaluating for and providing for. Reading, of course, for me was a big issue as I came up. I learned to read when I was 3. I could read anything when I went to school. Mm. And my grandmother graduated from college in Knoxville in 1912, so she taught me how to read. And I don't understand sometimes why children can't grasp reading. If you can look up and see the golden arches and say McDonald's, you have decoded a symbol.
Mm, right.
So I'm concerned that why is reading such a difficulty? And is it dyslexia or something else? I know our environment and our home plays a big part. Our homes in the black community are very disrupted and disturbed. And I taught in the system here in Atlanta and DeKalb, and I know.
Thank you, Barbara. I appreciate your call, and thank you for your service to our young people. Let me ask you about that. Is there some truth to what Barbara said about dyslexia?
There is, because you think about a teacher have to teach to 28 or 30 different learning types.
Yeah.
And that is hard for one or two teachers.
Right.
So, again, putting systems and processes in place can help identify that.
All right, let's go to Dee Dee in Northwest Atlanta. Dee Dee, good day. Welcome.
Good morning. I reside in the 5th District, and I want to thank Erica for being courageous enough to come on WAOK and to discuss this with you guys. I also agree with her decision and the decision of the board to let Dr. Kostopian go. I would like to suggest, and Erica, thank you for the electronic newsletter. I'm retired, and I don't look at them as vigorously as I should, but thank you for what you are trying to do, young lady. And I would like to suggest that in the future that you all bring in some former APS administrators who know the city and the city's history, not to make them the superintendent, but whoever the new superintendent is, to let them know the city's history and what we expect and what we would like. Thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Ron in Southwest Atlanta. Ron, good day. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Rashad, for having this conversation. And Ms. Mitchell, and I've been to a number of your meetings. It has been very public, but sometimes it's just hard to make all those meetings. And I can understand people not making them. But for you to be able to have the courage to stand up and represent, and don't think there's nothing wrong with representing your district. I mean, when we see the handwriting on the wall or the practices of closing schools and or the privatization of those schools and then turning them over to charters, I think we ought to be all concerned. And when you tie that into government statewide plans to take over schools, and then when you allow a superintendent to create create a system that will identify by some kind of testing schools that she feel and deem have no way of surviving or being successful, and to close those schools and to merge them and move them. I think it's very courageous for you standing up, and I think it's time for the board to come together. I don't think it's good for us to be able to, Rashad, to look at one side of the district and say, oh, they're doing good, and then ignore the other side, but bombard the other side with breaking those communities up. I think that it took courage to do what you did, and I would hope that we could get some more data that would show that this testing that has been done by Ms. Constarfin, we ought to look at and see if that testing really identify and justify why the other side of the district also went along with this here removal or not voting for her. Rashad, the South Side has schools like Douglas and Mays and Carter G. Woodson. And now we see Carter G. Woodson being a Kip, a Woodson Academy. I mean, we cannot think that we don't have the eyes to see that our school system and the idea of really creating a better school system can be done by continually turning over in the direction that we've been seeing it being turned over with. And I just want to congratulate you. And I would hope that before this week is out and before this day out, that we would find out data that represent something other than a PR data rollout that I think that maybe shook Jihad up. But no, Jihad, the fact is that our schools matter, closing schools and communities matter. And Rashad, when you said we, I would like to know who we is.
In what context? In what context?
In the context that you opened your show up this morning about she had so much support and the idea that her her support of getting previous support and then going away from
Brother Run, I'm running out of time, brother. What's your question
okay,
to me?
Real quick.
What's your question?
That the city of Atlanta.
No. Run. You had something specific to me. So what's your question to me? What context are you saying we in?
The context that you said that she had a lot of support. And you just used the word. You see it when you.
Yeah, yeah, hold on. Wait a minute. Ron. She does have a lot of support. She still has a lot of support. What are you talking about?
Okay, well, when you see the context and you replay the show, but the fact is...
I don't need to replay the damn show. I'm telling you what I said. She has a lot of support. She still has a lot of support. As a matter of fact, Ron, she has so much support that those who voted against her had to do it secretly. So there you go.
That's executive session. Have you ever heard of that before?
Ron, if they would have done this in public, as they should, when voting on a superintendent. Now, it's surprising to me that you're okay with this secret process, but you are not okay with every other secret process you've talked about on my program. But
well,
you're okay with this secret process.
Last time, her last vote, she had three people vote against her. But the fact is,
yeah, but that wasn't a secret vote. That better. Was not a secret vote, brother. This was a secret vote.
It wasn't. Right. It wasn't a secret vote.
I'm not down, Ron, whatever side you fall on, I'm not down with secret votes from public officials. I'm not down with that.
Are you down with not having public comments being heard?
No, I'm not down with that either, brother.
Okay, well, that's what she's been doing.
I appreciate it. I'm not down with that. Brother, and I told you I'm not down with that when it first happened. I told you that. I appreciate you calling.
These schools closing and the city holding onto those properties is part of the problems also, Rashad.
All right, I got you, and I concur. I want to give you the last word, sis.
Well, I just want to let the viewers know and everything that I am open to ideas, suggestions, public input from all our constituents.
Okay.
I don't discredit any work that Constarfin has done. I commend her on where she's gotten us thus far, where we are thus far. But we're going to move into a transition, and we just want to make sure that I would like to make sure, I can't speak for everybody, that we have the right person to help improve these schools and other schools across the district that needs the help. That's all.
Erica, I'm thankful for your leadership. I appreciate you coming on the show today. That's very stand up of you. And you have, I always had respect for you, but that respect has increased even more. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.